Territory FM Mornings with Pete Butler. Hashtag mornings to continue the discussion online.
Dean Jamieson was murdered on 4 April 2006, leaving an irreplaceable void in the lives of those who held him dear. Dean's mother, Josephine, has written a confronting book that is a deeply intimate and personal examination of the life and death of her child and the grief that accompanies such a loss. In her novel titled Last Touch, Jo critically examines the events following her son's untimely death, the support of the social sector and the police, the role of the media and reportage, and the effect on family. The author's compelling text, whilst at times very visceral, describes the emotional weight of burying a child, but offers amongst the darkness hope. Jo Jamieson was born in Scotland, but now calls the territory home and works as a senior child protection worker in remote communities. She was a mother of four until her eldest child, Dean, was brutally taken away from her through murder. This is her story. Jo, good morning.
Good morning.
Losing a child would have to be the most heartbreaking experience that any parent can go through, and you decided to relive that nightmare and write a book to help others. You wrote your book as part of a cathartic process to deal with your grief. At what point, though, did you decide to write Last Touch, and I guess, who was the book intended for?
Quite early on, I decided I was going to write a book. The reason for that was it was books that helped me to get through what I had to get through. Every single book that I read, I could not get one that actually viewed the police in a good light. And it's not so much to view them in a good light. It's the fact that we had lots of support from the police. We worked well with them. They worked with us. And it made it so much easier. Whereas all the books that I'd ever read, they had such bad relationships with them. It got me thinking how much harder it must have been for people, you know, if not only you have the media intruding in your lives. It's such a horrific time. If you don't have a good relationship with the police, the inquiry's not going to go well because they need to profile you, which I think people didn't realise. They actually profile the family. They were profiling us as a family because initially it's usually a family member, somebody close. They had no idea what had happened to Dean. Was it murder? Was it? He'd wandered and got lost. So they had to try and find out from us his steps, profile him. What is he like? Where does he go? Who are his friends? I actually asked the liaison officers themselves. I says, you know, I've read all these books, but there's not one that had any good relationship. And it's actually caused them more grief. Basically, what they said is you have to work with us and you have to accept that they're doing their best, but at the same time, they have to be direct. The reason I initially wrote the book was obviously for his children and for the grandchildren that my son will never have. And it keeps his memory alive. It then was for, you know, the professionals that were involved, like the media, the police, and it's also there, it's a book for counsellors. Just basic things like if somebody has suffered such a tragedy and it's about helping the people, the workplace, how to deal, you know, with this, because when you're going through in such a horrific experience, you never know where you're going to be, because one minute you're walking to the bank, you're in speaking to the teller, next minute you're crying, you have no idea, and it just comes over all of a sudden. At some point you think you're going mad. To let people know that you're not going mad, it is part of the grief. But also to let the workplace know that sometimes you cope, sometimes you don't. And it's for them to be mindful. There was many reasons why I wrote the book, and they're just few. But hopefully if it helps one person to get through the experience that we experienced without adding any more grief, that was the main reason. Apart from, you know, my son, that's what I really wanted to put across. I think, to be honest, too many people, you know, when a tragedy happens, they're needing to get as much information out you. They're not mindful in how you're actually feeling. It's there for people to know and understand that this will happen, and this is how we dealt with it as a family, and it's to help them get through the initial processes. They hand you a booklet. That's what you're handed when your child's murdered. Victim support gave me a booklet. That was all I ever got, a booklet. I remember phoning a counsellor because at the time my seven-year-old grandson was really having a hard time. He was bashing his head against the floor, and I'm thinking, no, this child needs help. And we were never in a position to help. It was too close to us and we were suffering too badly to be able to help and support him to the best that he needed. So I phoned up the counsellor and I says, can you help us? This child needs help now. And they said, no. There's a six-month waiting list. Because of the type of job that I was in, I knew who to contact, and I was able to actually physically get help, and that was such a great relief for my seven-year-old grandson. Whereas if people didn't know, they would have been left. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, when the criminals, you know, get into jail, they get access to counsellors, social workers, the best barristers, everything. The victim gets nothing. I think I want to get it across to people that it's a tragedy and it's horrific. sick, but you will get through with it. But it will take time. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next week. It'll take time, but you'll never get over it.
Joe, I just want to take a break and then we'll come back in a moment and take a look, I guess, a little bit at the case, but also how harrowing it must have been for you to write this book.